Good morning. This is your Ag Knowledge Alert. I'm technical agronomist Brad Sherwin with the Cowbaz Grow in Northwest Iowa. This morning we're going to take just a few minutes and talk about cold saturated soil effects on corn germination and emergence. As we know, soil that is saturated and cold can have a negative impact on corn germination and emergence. These soils can cause other problems such as soil crusting, compacted soils, and increased risk of seedling diseases. It's really important to understand the impact of adverse environmental conditions on germination and emergence to help assess potential corn damage. When we look at cold temperatures and chilling injury, we realize that corn requires soil moisture and a soil temperature at or above 50 degrees to germinate. In general, corn needs about 100 growing degree days or heat units to emerge, but this can range from 90 to 150 growing degree days. Consequently, cool temperatures and inadequate accumulation of growing degree days can cause uneven emergence. Now, many corn growers believe that cold temperatures damage is not an issue because the growing point of corn is at or below the soil surface until about the V6 growth stage. This rule of thumb usually is the case regarding air temperature, but not always true with respect to soil temperature. In fact, wet soils with a temperature below 50 degrees Fahrenheit may cause chilling injury during that germination process. Imbibitional chilling injury happens when a corn seed takes in cold water from rain or melting snow. As usual, the germinating corn seed takes in the water and swells. However, that cold water can cause cell membranes to become rigid and rupture, which may result in aborted radicals, proliferation of seminal roots, and delayed seedling growth. This damage may limit or cease nutrient uptake. This can also restrict normal development of the mesocotyl and coleoptiles, and as well allow for soil diseases and or pests to get into that seed. It's important to understand the symptoms of chilling injury can also be caused by other factors and may be compounded by additional stresses during germination. These could include herbicide injury, disease, or soil crusting. Typical symptoms may be seeds that swell but do not germinate, deformed growth of the mesocotyl or corkscrewing, visibly damaged areas of the mesocotyl or coleoptile, and or fragile or absent primary roots, mesocotyls or coleoptiles. When we think of soil compaction can result in yield reductions due to decreases in seedling germination, root and plant growth, and nutrient uptake. And current research indicates approximately 80% of soil compaction happens on that first pass through the field, while subsequent passes cause additional but progressively less compaction. The best way to manage compaction is prevention, or staying out of the field until conditions are good. Mud sticks to the tires and roots are deeper than an inch. It's probably too wet to be in the field. When we think about disease, lengthy periods of wet soil conditions favor development of many seedling blight diseases, especially those caused by Pythium, fungi, or Fusarium. Poorly drained areas of fields are at most risk for the development of these diseases and would also be at risk for replant situations. Certain diseases, such as crazy top, may also be prevalent later in the season because infection occurs at these early seedling stages when fields are wet. Lastly, when we look at injury assessment and management, we want to examine the growing point by splitting the seedlings lengthwise. If that growing point is soft and gray or brown color, the plant will likely not survive. A healthy growing point should have white to yellowish color. We think about seed treatments and planting depth are critical. Fungicide and insecticide seed treatments can help withstand establishment and protect that early corn development from pests. Planting depth is critical. Extremely saturated soils, seeds that are slightly higher and drier are able to get some oxygen and survive. Lastly, it's recommended to adjust the planting depth on a field-by-field basis depending on those conditions. Typically, corn should be planted at about 1 3/4 inches to 2 1/4 inches deep to provide protection from frost and adequate root development. That is your Ag Knowledge Alert. If you have further questions, you can always contact your local DeKalb Asgrove dealer, or you can reach me, Brad Sherwin, technical agronomist, at 319-830-6643. Hi, I'm Brad Sherwin, technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrove. In today's Agronomic Spotlight, we're going to talk about strategies to reduce the impact of mycotoxins in corn. Recently, there was some really good information put out by Michigan State University that highlighted some key points. Number one is scouting. Scout now for potential ear rot and mycotoxin issues due to recent wet and cool weather conditions. Scouting should consist of 5 random spots in the field and pulling the husks off 20 ears on consecutive plants at each location, totaling 100 ears per field. Remember, continued damage from insects and other pests later in the season can lead to the accumulation of mycotoxins, as damaged kernels allow for easier infection. Number 2 is harvest adjustments. Another option to reduce mycotoxins in storage is to make adjustments to combine settings to reduce both damaged kernels and the number of kernels with fungal infections making it into storage. Physical damage to the kernels during harvest increases potential for fungal infection and for mycotoxins to develop. Adjusting the combine cylinder speed and clearance can reduce damage to kernels by reducing their physical contact with moving combine parts. Also, adjustments can be made to discard moldy kernels. Increasing the fan speed so that lower density kernels are discarded can reduce the amount of mycotoxins in stored grain. Kernels infected with ear rot fungi are often lower density and therefore lighter and will be blown out. Because increasing discarded grain will decrease yield, you really need to balance this with the need to discard infected grain. Also, remember, after harvesting, drying grain is important in stopping the development of fungal pathogens. Grain from fields that have ear mold should be dried as quickly as possible at a high temperature to stop the development of mycotoxins. Studies have shown that increasing the amount of time between harvesting and drying increases the amount of mycotoxins found in the grain. Corn grain should be dried to at least 14% moisture content for storage. At this temperature, fungal microbes respire slowly, which inhibits growth. Respiration increases above 14% moisture, which can result in an increase in temperature and sometimes spontaneous heating of stored grain. Point number 3 is really around storage. While in storage, we want to minimize the amount of fungal pathogens that are able to grow in storage. Prior to storing grain, make sure the bin is cleaned out. Problems while in storage are often due to moisture variability within the structure or moisture that develops inside the bin. Proper aeration can be used to control moisture in storage by reducing condensation. The fourth point is storage temperature. Storage temperature is also critical in managing mycotoxins in stored grain. Grain should ideally be cooled to between 33.8 and 39.2 degrees Fahrenheit because fungal development is reduced at this temperature. And in the summer, keep grain between 50 and 59 degrees Fahrenheit. Aeration is essential to help control temperature in grain bins and should be done when the temperatures are cool to help cool the bin. Lastly is management. Regular observations of the grain bin are important to determine if mycotoxin problems may be arising in storage. Check grain bins weekly during the warm months and every other week during cooler months. When checking the grain bin temperature, monitor moisture and visual symptoms for fungal infection. Overall, steps can be taken now to help reduce the impact of mycotoxins in corn grain this season. Those strategies can be implemented now. It is important to know that a whole season management program is the best defense against mycotoxins. That's today's Agronomic Spotlight. If you have further questions, you can contact your local DeKalb Asgrove dealer, or you can contact me, Brad Sherwin, technical agronomist, DeKalb Asgrove, at 319-830-6643.